This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Summit in jeopardy. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, May 23rd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
3 weeks before a planned meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, the president says it may not work out.
Texas officials begin 3 days of hearings over how to improve school safety in the wake of the Santa Fe shooting. Here's some ideas.
A recap of primary and runoff elections in several states, including Georgia, where history could be made.
And even Amazon runs out of patience when you become a pain in the neck with too many returns. You can get banned.
The first one, obviously, consistently returning a large number of your purchases, returning the wrong items or items that look used, returning items that are prone to abuse, like TVs and computers, and then also, this one is pretty interesting, providing an atypical reason for a return.
Wall Street Journal reporter Khadija Safdar on getting kicked out of Amazon.com. Her report in about 20 minutes. Seeds of doubt are being planted about whether there will be a planned summit next month between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Mr. Trump said yesterday he would deep six the meeting, scheduled for Singapore on June 12, unless Mr. Kim first agreed to a list of unspecified conditions. He met yesterday with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, insisting on the full denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, among other things. Mr. Trump said there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out.
I'm a little disappointed because when Kim Jong-un had the meeting with President Xi in China, the second meeting, the first meeting we knew about, the second meeting, I think there was a little change in attitude from Kim Jong-un. So I don't like that.
Officials from North Korea last week indicated that unilateral nuclear disarmament was a non-starter for the high-level talks. Despite the doubts, Mr. Trump kept the door open for the summit and sought to lure Mr. Kim with promises of global fame and fortune. It may be argued that this continues to be the year for women in politics. A handful of states held primaries and runoff elections yesterday. Stacey Abrams won Georgia's Democratic primary for governor.
My parents instilled in us the core values of faith, of family, of service and responsibility. Hard work is in my bone.
Ms. Abrams could become the nation's first black woman governor. Meanwhile, Georgia Republicans are headed to a runoff election in July. In Texas, Lupe Valdez became the first openly gay and Latino gubernatorial nominee.
If you're ready for a Texas where all Texans have a fair shot and a voice in Austin, then join us.
In primary races for House seats, Houston Democrats chose Lizzie Pennell Fletcher, a lawyer favored by the Democratic establishment. In Kentucky, former Marine fighter pilot Amy McGrath defeated Lexington Mayor Jim Gray in the 6th District. In Arkansas, Republican Asa Hutchinson won the primary in his bid to be reelected as governor. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has held the first of three roundtable discussions on school safety. The goal? Prevent another school shooting like the one at Santa Fe High School outside Houston that killed 10 people and injured 13 last Friday.
Why can't we not allow parents, students, law enforcement, and others be able to monitor basically on a 24/7 basis the cameras in these schools?
Meanwhile, you may have heard that the lieutenant governor of Texas has suggested that schools should limit entrances to one or two doors per building to deter school shootings. While the idea has merit, most admit it's not the best or only idea up for consideration. More from John Moritz, reporter in the Austin Bureau for USA Today. John, what's up here?
As you might have heard, the lieutenant governor took a little bit of flack for saying, you know, one of the ways we can protect kids is to limit where they can come into the building, and guests, students, whoever. And you know, some people thought that was either simplistic or even perhaps dangerous, worried about what if there's a fire, what if there's an emergency, how will kids get out. But a national expert that I talked with, he said, no, that's actually a good idea. You could, you know, people trained can keep an eye on the comings and goings of visitors and kids, see what's out of the ordinary, raise a red flag when needed. But that doesn't mean there's no fire exits. That doesn't mean there's not a plan to get out of the building should an emergency strike, but just kind of control or at least monitor the comings and goings of everybody else on campus.
So you touched on it a little bit, but what about in the event of a fire if there were only two exits? The existing emergency exits would still be there, but more accessible during a fire? Like, how would that work?
The way the lieutenant governor explained it, he likened it to a courthouse in the modern world. You know, the lawyers, the defendants, the prosecutors, all the visitors all go through a single point of entry. But you'll see exit signs, you know, any public building, you see the big red exit signs all around. Now, maybe you can't get into them, but you can certainly get out of them. I'm talking to you from the state capitol in Texas, where they have several points of entry, and they have a whole bunch more ways to get out that you can't get in. And so if I had to get up from my desk and make for an exit, I could be out of here in 2 seconds, but I couldn't get back in that same door I just got out.
We're speaking with John Moritz, correspondent in the Austin Bureau for USA Today, and he's written a piece about hardening the target and what one expert has suggested in terms of limiting school entrances. So that obviously there's the gun debate that's separate from this, and we're just talking about the entrances at this point. Has anybody said that this could be up and operational, say, tomorrow?
I don't know that anybody has said that, at least not to me. You know, there most likely is some logistics involved. You know, locking doors that can only push away from the inside out. But also in the same report that we were talking about earlier, since 1999, when Columbine first occurred and kind of put school shootings on the map, a whole bunch of schools are already at least limiting the entrances to some extent. And I think the report says that probably about 80% have some sort of a limit, either, you know, requiring visitors to stop at the office and sign in, not just, you know, wander in the into the front door and then have access to the corridors and classrooms right away. So this is sort of an evolving discussion as I learned through my reporting, and it's not a foreign concept at all. People have been thinking about this and talking about it for a while.
I thought it was interesting, too. The one guy I spoke to talked about bus drivers being your first line of defense, along with supplemental help from custodians and maintenance workers.
Basically, he said that you have to look at the school as a community where everybody has a role. You know, the cafeteria people, they're going to see, you know, if a kid is, you know, perhaps underfed day in and day out, and that might be a problem. The maintenance guys, you know, who come and fix the lockers or whatever, you know, they're going to see things coming and going. The custodians who, you know, clean up the restrooms, you know, back when I was a kid, that's where, you know, fellas went if they had a difference in opinion. They went to the boys' room and slugged it out. Typically, as I recall, it was the school custodian who would probably be the first one to come in and break it up.
Thanks, John. John Moritz, reporter at the Austin Bureau for USA Today. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday. Congress is taking a bite out of the financial regulations under the Dodd-Frank law. The House yesterday approved a plan to ease rules for small and mid-sized banks in an effort to relax restrictions put in place during the financial crisis. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
A central piece of the bill could relieve about 24 regional banks from stricter rules. It will raise the threshold at which banks face tighter oversight from $50 billion to $250 billion. Mid-sized banks have protested being grouped with the larger banks. The measure doesn't touch most of Dodd-Frank's major restrictions, such as emergency government powers to take over failing financial institutions. And nothing in the bill changes the broad authority that regulators have to apply strict rules to firms considered risky. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The bill could encourage deal-making and make it easier for banks to expand. The Senate passed the legislation in March with support from 17 members of the Democratic caucus. It now heads to President Trump for his signature. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Well, refinance your debt with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate. Credit card consolidation loans from 5.49% APR with AutoPay, and there are no fees. The application, 100% online. It's a simple and painless process. Apply today and get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way for our listeners with good credit to get this special interest rate discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's lightstream.com, LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval. The rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for important info about limits on Lightstream loans and same-day funding. The special offer is at lightstream.com/deal. Again, lightstream.com/deal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. and South Korea are laboring to keep the highly anticipated U.S. summit with North Korea on track, even after President Trump now says it probably won't happen as scheduled.
There's a chance that it'll work out. There's a chance, it's a very substantial chance that it won't work out. I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I'm sure he doesn't want to waste a lot of time.
Trump blamed China's president for a change in attitude from North Korean's Kim Jong-un after the two met recently. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says we're driving on. Several of Tuesday's nomination races across four states ended well for female candidates, one of them winning a chance to become the first black female governor in history. Georgia Democrats chose Atlanta lawyer Stacey Abrams.
We need us all to be energized, and we need to be side by side so we can succeed. And so I hope that you will all join us in our fight for the future.
In two Texas congressional districts that Democrats hope to flip, women were nominated to face male incumbents. In Kentucky, high school math teacher Travis Brenda ousted the majority leader of the state house with a narrow win in the GOP primary race. A business partner of President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, has agreed to cooperate with prosecutors in investigations. The New York Times says Evgeny Friedman, a Russian immigrant who is known as the Taxi King, will avoid jail time and will assist government prosecutors in state or federal investigations. Friedman has been Cohen's partner in the taxi business for years. Prize-winning novelist Philip Roth has died at the age of 85. Roth wrote more than 30 books, including the 1991 memoir Patrimony, which examined his complex relationship with his father, and won the National Book Critics Circle Award. He won the Pulitzer Prize for American Pastoral. And in this age of concussions, the NFL has announced several changes to its kickoff rules. And the biggest changes involve the pre-snap formations allowed, including the prevention of running starts for the kicking team. Wedge blocks also are now illegal. The moves were made to reduce the speed of players and the impact of collisions.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Even Amazon.com has its limits. While Amazon has cultivated an image as a customer-friendly company in part by making it easy for shoppers to send back items they don't want, the e-commerce giant bans shoppers from the site for infractions such as returning too many items, sometimes without telling them what they did wrong. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Khadija Safdar. Khadija, what have you found?
So part of what makes this so interesting is that Amazon doesn't specify the threshold for getting banned. So we just have a sense of the behaviors that are likely to get you banned after speaking with former Amazon employees who are familiar with the system. And we can give you a sense of those.
Yeah, go ahead. What behaviors?
So, for example, the first one, obviously consistently returning a large number of your purchases, returning the wrong items or items that look used, returning items that are prone to abuse, like TVs and computers, and then also, this one is pretty interesting, providing an atypical reason for a return. So if you mark when they ask you why are you making this return, something that the other 99% of customers didn't mark, that's likely a red flag.
Oh, no kidding. It seemed like the one guy you talked to had this, like, he had a credit or a gift card, and he contacted Amazon, like, multiple days in a row. That seemed to raise a red flag on his account, too?
So he had, so Basically, he got his account shut down, and he didn't know why it was shut down, so he contacted Amazon several times to find the reason for the closure, and he eventually found out from one of the chat agents that it was due to his return activity. And he had a $450 gift card balance that he could no longer use, so he was obviously quite upset. And so he engaged with the company for a while, and then even emailing Jeff Bezos, the CEO, and he finally, an Amazon employee responding on behalf of Mr. Bezos, notified him that he could use his account again.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Khadija Safdar. She's written a piece entitled Banned from Amazon, the Shoppers Who Make Too Many Returns. All right, so what about reinstatement? Can you plead your case and win, or is it good luck with that?
So as far as we can tell, there's no official policy for that. A lot of some of the shoppers were successful just by being extremely persistent. One shopper, he was banned, that we spoke to, he was banned for a year, and then he happened to get some credits, and so he asked Amazon about more than a year later if he could use the credits on the site or pass them along to somebody, and then they just let him back on. So I guess if you keep trying, there might be hope.
What about creating a fake account? Can you circumvent the process that way?
So I did speak with some shoppers who tried to create an alternative email, and Amazon's system is able to flag when it's a different email. They can find out that it's the same person.
The one guy you talked to toward the end of the story, it seemed like his life was turned upside down because he or she seemed to shop so much. Now he just has to go to multiple websites to buy stuff.
I know. It's interesting because a lot of people, especially in some of the big cities, they use Amazon for buying just about everything. So it would be an interesting predicament to just have to completely alter that behavior and not have access to the site. He was also a big Kindle user, and so he couldn't buy any new material.
That's Khadija. Wall Street Journal reporter Khadija Safdar. It is 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, May 23rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The summit between Trump and North Korea's leader on shaky ground. The president is reportedly giving a speech today in New York about the need to eradicate the MS-13 gang. Variety is reporting that ESPN has taken control of UFC's television rights from Fox Sports. Danica Patrick will be the first woman to host the ESPYs, that's in July, and the 30-year-old man ordered by a judge to leave mommy and daddy's house. That story in about 20 minutes. As two of the Middle East's military heavyweights edge closer to a shooting war, Israel boasts one of the world's most effective militaries backed by a nuclear arsenal. But Iran has 10 times the population and an increasing number of ways to strike back asymmetrically. It's a story by Carlo Munoz, military correspondent at The Washington Times. Carlo, give us some background.
Well, I mean, tensions are pretty high in the Middle East right now between Tehran and Tel Aviv. Things really kind of hit a head last week when there were some initial rocket launches that Israel says was launched by Iranian military forces in Syria into the Golan Heights, and Israel responded in kind. They sent about 30 fighter jets to attack so-called or targets that have been identified as being tied to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is Iran's sort of paramilitary wing responsible for training proxy forces in the area. So it's been an escalation that we haven't seen in quite a bit between these two countries, and I think it's really kind of put everything on edge. In And in, you look at also, too, with the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, that's just adding sort of more fuel to the fire.
Mm. All right, your headline talks about a looming war. That's not quite, obviously, the word imminent, but, I mean, how close is this?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen. Again, kind of going back to the fact that we haven't seen an escalation like this in terms of, you know, military action back and forth between these two countries in a really long time. We really haven't seen Israel take this kind of military action since the war with Hamas in 2014. And, you know, the international community and your listeners, I'm sure, remember the sort of devastating effects that had in the region. So, you know, we'll have to see. Secretary Pompeo, you know, he made some comments today that, you know, the United States is willing to take any and all actions to prevent Iran's, I guess, nefarious actions throughout the Middle East and the region. So, you know, some of the rhetoric coming from Washington could contribute to sort of this potential escalation.
Mm-hmm. Soldiers and equipment-wise, who has the advantage, Israel or Iran?
Well, if you're looking at it from a sort of conventional military operation, the odds go towards Israel. You know, they have a much more advanced air defense capabilities, a much more advanced air force. They pretty much would dominate the skies in any kind of outright conflict with Iran or their proxies in Syria. Now, if you look on the other side of the coin, the Syrian military has almost perfected the art of developing proxy forces, training and equipping militias in the region. Now, that being said, if there was a conflict to break out between these two countries, Iran could, so to speak, flood the zone around Israel's borders with their proxy forces, forcing Tel Aviv to fight a multi-front war, a defensive war, but still a multi-front war. So, you know, if you're really sort of looking at the scorecard in terms of military capabilities, that's kind of what I'm seeing.
Mm. We're speaking with Carlo Munoz, military correspondent at The Washington Times. He's written a piece entitled Israel versus Iran, Who Holds the Advantage in an Increasingly Looming War? Who else gets dragged in, by the way, if this were to start to take hold?
Well, that's another big question. You know, how does this sort of spiral outward? Obviously, if Israel produces enough information or intelligence showing that Iran is taking direct action against them, the United States would be forced to at least provide logistical and intelligence support for any counterattack or any counteroffensive the Israelis may launch. On the Iranian side, obviously, one of the biggest backers for the Iranians is Syria. You know, the Tehran's forces are based in that country. So you may see government forces loyal to President Bashar Assad get sucked into that. And if you want to look at the counter knock-on effect to that, Russia is Syria's biggest military sponsor. So in some form or fashion, the Russians could get drawn into this. You know, it's really kind of a, you know, I don't want to use a loaded term, but it's really a powder keg type situation in that particular part of the world where alliances and lines have sort of been blurred, particularly after the fight against Islamic State.
You know, you point out in the story, too, about Iran's relatively muted official response earlier this month when things escalated between Israel and Syria. That's a realization that Iran is not prepared to take on Israel?
You know, I think it's one of two things. One, I think it was really kind of Iran may have played its hand a little too much, so to speak. You know, they have been building up these proxy forces, but, you know, the way they launched that attack into the Golan Heights, I mean, that was textbook conventional warfare, and you're just not going to beat the Israelis if you want to take them on like that.
Thanks, Carlo. Carlo Munoz, military correspondent at The Washington Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, when the robots take over everything for good, here's another thing that we'll have to iron out. Someone might have to teach them how to speak Latin. A South Carolina woman named Kara Kosinski told the Washington Post that she ordered a graduation cake online from the grocery store chain Publix for her son that was supposed to say, "Congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018. Unfortunately, the online message box didn't like one of the words in the phrase, which means with the highest distinction in Latin. Kara says she tried to get around the problem by explaining what the phrase means in the box for special instructions and thought that would be the end of it. Another family member picked up the cake not knowing what it was supposed to say, and when it was revealed at the graduation party, there were three hyphens where the middle word in the phrase was supposed to be. A photo of the censored cake went viral yesterday. Upset that she paid $70 for a cake with hyphens in in it. Kara complained to the store, and she got an apology, refund, and a gift card.
Mm.
I mean, good for them for, you know, sort of owning up to it.
Yeah.
And sort of making a restitution there. That is a lot of money, though, for... for a mistake cake like
Man.
That. Imagine you're the person, the Publix, you know, IT person who's in charge of sort of putting in all the different curse words that people are not allowed to have put on their cakes.
Yeah. Summa hyphen 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 Loudy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made for a funny photo, though. I'll say that much.
How much for that hyphen cake?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, which you could probably, you know, sell that for some good money at this point. It's become quite the viral sensation.
All right, artificial intelligence, not quite
not
where
there
we
yet.
Need it to be.
Yeah, yes, again, we have not just English, not just Spanish.
Right.
We have to actually, Latin they have to learn as well.
Wow.
And speaking of viral photos, another one in the you had one job category made the rounds yesterday, but it looks like there will be a happy ending to this bizarre story. The bronze plaque honoring soccer star Brandi Chastain got a red card yesterday after a social media outcry over its unflattering portrayal of the athlete. Fans on Twitter compared the likeness to former President Jimmy Carter, actors Gary Busey and Mickey Rooney, Babe Ruth, Bill Belichick, and Mrs. Doubtfire. None of those are flattering or remotely resemble the real-life Chastain, who is most remembered for ripping off her jersey in celebration of her game-winning penalty kick in the 1999 World Cup. Chastain was gracious about the flap when she appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I'm really grateful for the induction, and I know what they do is really good work, and I hope that they can breathe a sigh of relief knowing that nobody's upset about this. We all had a good time with it, and we want them to continue doing good work.
And good news, after the social media frenzy, the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame said they will redo the plaque, saying it will be expensive, but that it's the right thing to do.
Well, it wouldn't be expensive if you'd done it right the first time.
Well, I don't understand, because this happens a lot. That happened with Ronaldo, right?
Yeah.
With his plaque a couple of months ago.
Right.
Doesn't anybody look at these things first?
No.
Doesn't anybody proof these things before they are unveiled to the public in front of thousands of people?
No, I'll tell you what happens. Here's what happens. Somebody is commissioned to do a bust.
Yeah.
And what you do is you find somebody who's never heard or seen of the person they're doing the bust for.
That makes sense, sure.
So for Cristiano Ronaldo, right, the world-famous soccer player, they grab some guy in Mongolia who doesn't have TV and has never seen an international soccer match.
Right.
And for Brandi Chastain, I don't know, some cricket player somewhere in the world who just never heard of
perhaps
the
also in Mongolia.
Soccer.
Who knows? Well, maybe next door to the other person in Mongolia. Yeah.
It was horrible. This was a horrible job.
Yes. Yes. Jennifer was literally crying in the newsroom yesterday with laughter over how bad this was.
Brandi Chastain, who put women's sports bras like on the map when she took her jersey off in 1999. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. Here's a shocker from a federal regulator. A certain shortcut for your health does not work. The Food and Drug Administration delivered the bad news yesterday, saying there's no such thing as a sunscreen pill. Companies that market these pills have been told to stop making such claims. The agency says these so-called sunscreen in a pill supplements are fakes, and people should not fall for the scam. The FDA warned the companies that make Advanced Skin Brightening Formula, SunSafe RX, Solaricare, and Sunergetic to stop saying they protect people from the sun's rays. Canada-based Glisoden sells its Advanced Skin Brightening Formula for $85 a bottle. On its website, it asks, "Do you know that sun damage is responsible for 90% of the visible signs of skin aging?" Again, the FDA says don't fall for this sunscreen in a pill scam. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Jordan President Trump says he would scrap a planned summit with Kim Jong-un unless the North Korean leader first agrees to a list of unspecified conditions, adding new uncertainty to the meeting scheduled for Singapore in just 3 weeks.
There's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time. But it may not work out for June 12th.
Trump aimed to shift the burden of the summit back to Kim, whose deputy surprised the White House last week with a round of aggressive language that suggested unilateral nuclear disarmament was a deal breaker for the high-level talks. Two Republican lawmakers and no Democrats are expected to attend a meeting scheduled for tomorrow to review classified information relating to President Trump's suggestion the FBI might have used an informant to gather information on his 2016 election campaign, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
To my knowledge, the Democrats have not requested that information, so I would refer you back to them on why they would consider themselves randomly invited to see something they've never asked to.
The meeting attendees will be Devin Nunes, chairman of of the House Intelligence Committee, and Trey Gowdy, chairman of the House Oversight Committee. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg faced tough questions from European Union lawmakers over what one of them branded Zuckerberg's digital monster, and he apologized for the way the social network has been used.
We haven't done enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. And that goes for fake news, foreign interference in elections, and developers misusing people's information.
At a hearing in the European Parliament in Brussels, legislators sought explanations about the growing number of false Facebook accounts and whether Facebook will comply with new EU privacy rules, but many were left frustrated by Zuckerberg's lack of answers. With the 2017-18 TV season about to close, NBC is set to come out on top for the fourth time in 5 years, boosted by the Super Bowl and the Olympics. NBC also boasted broadcast number one drama in This Is Us, the top primetime series in Sunday Night Football, and the number one reality series, The Voice.
A lot of sports carrying the load there.
Eh? Yes.
Are you a This Is Us fan?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
yes.
You love that?
That's absolutely. Wonderful show.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A 30-year-old man has been ordered by a judge to vacate his parents' home. The order came after a months-long effort by the couple to get him to leave their upstate house in New York. Michael Rotondo appeared in court after his parents filed a petition in the Supreme Court of New York State claiming they've had enough of their son living under their roof. Syracuse.com says the eviction drama began in February when the parents left their first note saying Michael had 2 weeks to vacate his room at the family's home in Camillus. Another note later on said Michael had 30 days to vacate as recommended by the couple's lawyer. The mother warned legal enforcement will be instituted immediately if he wasn't out of the house by March 15. The couple decided to add an incentive and penned a third note saying they were graciously giving him $1,100 to help him find a place to stay. The offer also offered some advice, such as organizing his personal items, selling valuables for money, and finding a job. The freeloader yesterday, by the way, was angry at the judge's decision. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.